Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Friday. Thanks for joining us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. We're thrilled you're with us. Derek Prince has been teaching us all week about Thanksgiving, praise, and worship, talking about how Thanksgiving is a key to the blessing of God, the supernatural. Yesterday, he put the fear of God in us by talking about what happens to an ungrateful people, and that was great coming on the back end of our week of celebrating the 4th of July. Today, he's going to turn our attention to praise. What is praise, and how does it differ from worship, and what does it do for us, and what is its origin, and how do we express it? This is a very, very important theme, and I think it's going to transform your experience in church. Hopefully, you'll work it into your personal devotional life, and you'll experience some marvelous things in God. So get your Bible, get your pen. By the way, if you've missed any of this, or if you just know you need to embed it in your heart over and over again, log on to DerekPrince.org. You'll not only be able to just digest this as much as you want, but also listen to other marvelous teachings and find out what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. So let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about praise, God's throne, and the purpose of God's blessing.
I'm going to deal with the next main sacrifice that follows on directly and naturally from the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and that is the sacrifice of praise. This is one of the grandest and most glorious themes that we can ever be privileged to study. It runs like a golden thread throughout the whole Bible, from beginning to end. Praise is eternal. Its origin is in heaven. It's the ceaseless occupation of all the glorious and eternal beings who inhabit heaven, and there enjoy the closest and most uninterrupted access to God Himself. Uninterrupted access calls for uninterrupted praise. Praise is also associated with our own planet Earth since its beginning. In Job chapter 38, God challenges Job with the question, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" What a beautiful picture that is of the beginning of Earth. It was praise that sent our planet first spinning on its celestial course. And it's the responsibility of God's people on this planet to see that praise continues to mark its course until heaven and earth are no more. The first specific thing I want to say about praise today is that praise is the appropriate way that we relate to God as a king on his throne. We find this in Psalm 22, verse 3, where the psalmist says, "Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel." You see, God is always a king, whether we acknowledge it or not. But when we as his people offer him our praises, then we provide him with the throne which it's appropriate for him to sit upon. So when we praise God, he takes his place as a king upon the throne of our praises. It's our way of acknowledging his kingship. And then, combined with thanksgiving, praise gives us access to God. We see this in Psalm 100, verse 4. The psalmist says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." We see there two degrees or phases of access, first through God's gates, and then through his courts. The psalmist indicates that it's thanksgiving that brings us through the gates, but praise brings us into the courts. This is also beautifully illustrated in a verse from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18, where the prophet says to God's people, "Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise." You see, God dwells in a land of perfect peace and tranquility. Not only is there no violence or destruction there, but not even the sounds of violence or destruction ever come into that land. And that's the land of God's presence that he invites us into to share with him. But notice the way of access. All the gates are praise. In other words, the only way into the place of God's presence and God's dwelling is through praise. I've said that praise is the way we acknowledge God as King. Now I want to add that praise also makes God's people queenly. There's a beautiful passage in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 and 2, which I believe is a word from God to his people at this time. Awake, awake, O Zion! Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. That's a message to God's people. Too long we've groveled in the dust. We haven't realized our queenly dignity and destiny. We've been like slaves rather than like ruling princes, which is what God wants us to be. So God tells us to awake, to get up out of the dust, to shake ourselves, to loose ourselves from the bands on our neck, and to sit down enthroned, and to put on the garments of splendor which are ours by right of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What are these garments of splendor? Let me give you a few pictures from the Scriptures. Psalm 96, verses 6 through 9. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. There's a picture in the middle of the book of Esther. A terrible decree had gone out for the destruction of God's people. And we see two different reactions. First, the reaction of Mordecai, then the reaction of Esther. Esther 4, verses 1 and 2. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. See, that's a principle. We cannot enter the king's gate when we're wearing sackcloth. Now let's read about Esther in the next chapter. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you." You see the contrast between Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai was wearing sackcloth. He couldn't get inside the king's gate. But Esther realized her queenly possession, put on her royal robes, went in the presence of the king, and obtained mercy and redemption for her people. That, I believe, is a pattern for us today. God wants us to realize that we're the bride of Christ. We're queenly. We need to put on our royal robes, and not least of these is the garment of praise.
You know, if what Derek says is true about praise, then praise is about more than just a personal awakening. It's about more than just our personal relationship with God. It really is a key to revival and renewal. And this may very well be why Derek has told us about the story of Mordecai and Esther. There's something that happened nationwide as God's people worshiped, as individuals went before the Lord in praise. Let's give that some thought. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to truly know God, to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm so glad you're with me here on this Friday because we're concluding a marvelous series by Derek on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And Derek is just about to go into one of my favorite topics in the whole Bible, the idea of the triumph. Let's listen.
Today I'm going to show you that praise is the purpose for which God blesses us. His blessings are designed to call forth praise from us. Praise is our appropriate response to God's blessings. This places praise in the category of ends rather than means. Let me explain this briefly. A means is not valuable in itself, but only insofar as it enables us to achieve something else through it and beyond it. On the other hand, an end is something that is valuable in itself, even if it leads to nothing further beyond itself. So many of the things we regularly do in the practice of religion are means, not ends. They are valuable only if they enable us to achieve something beyond them. In actual fact, it often happens in our religious activities that we get bogged down in a welter of means without even being aware of the ends that they are supposed to achieve, much less ensuring that they do actually achieve those ends. However, praise does not belong to this category of means. Praise is an end in itself. It is supremely valuable for its own sake. Let's look now at some of the scriptures that present praise as an end in itself. First of all, we'll turn to a prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen or the nations, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. I believe that's a prayer that's appropriate to the present situation with God's people. I believe we're living in a time of restoration and regathering and reuniting. And God is saving his people and gathering his people back into their inheritance. But notice the purpose for which God is doing this, the response that God requires from us. He is doing it that we may give thanks unto his holy name and triumph in his praise. That word triumph is one of the key words of the scripture. We need to understand a little about it. First of all, we need to understand that a triumph is not the winning of a battle. It's the celebration of a battle or of a war that has already been won. And in this context, we need to see ourselves not as fighting the battle, but as entering into the victory that Christ has already won for us. This victory and the triumph are described in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Speaking of what was accomplished through the death of Christ on the cross, Paul says this of God: having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see the word triumph there. The death of Jesus was a victory that led to a triumph, and we are invited to share that triumph. By his death, Jesus conquered all the evil satanic forces, the powers and authorities, the whole satanic kingdom that had been set in array against us and was working for our destruction and ruin. The only one who could save us and help us was Jesus, and he came to our help through the cross. He defeated all those satanic powers, he made a public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them by the cross. The triumph was familiar in the Roman civilization of Paul's day. It was the highest honor that the Senate of Rome could vote a victorious Roman general. It went something like this: after the Senate had voted a triumph to this general, on a specific day he was placed in a special chariot drawn by a white horse, and the chariot drove him in triumph through the streets of Rome. The people of Rome lined the streets on either side and applauded as he went past in the chariot. Behind him there followed a whole train of people and creatures that indicated the nature of his victory. Kings and rulers and generals that he had taken captive, many, many ranks of prisoners of war in manacles and chains, and even sometimes wild animals from the territories that the general's conquests had added to the Roman Empire. Sometimes it would be a tiger or some animal that the Roman people were not familiar with. All these were the evidences of his victory, the manifestation of his triumph. So that's how Jesus dealt with Satan at the cross. He not merely conquered him, but he took all those evil powers and authorities captive, and then he led them in visible defeat behind his chariot. Now, where do we fit in this picture? Are we just on the sidewalk applauding? No, that's not God's purpose. Let's look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The King James Version goes like this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The New International Version says this, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. You see where we're supposed to be? Not being led in chains behind the chariot, not even standing on the sidewalk and applauding. But where are we to be? In the chariot, sharing Christ's triumph. How do we get into the chariot? The answer is we triumph in his praise. It's when we praise him that we're lifted up above the level of the sidewalk and we find ourselves right there in the chariot with Christ, sharing his glorious eternal victory over all the forces of evil. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, but he does it only when we learn to praise him aright.
You know, I love it when God, by his Spirit, takes Roman occurrences and events that happened in the history of the behind the New Testament era and uses it to express spiritual truth. The triumph was one of the great celebrations of a victory that had already occurred. Captives were led in procession. There was a display of the wares that had been captured in battle. It was a marvelous celebration of a victory already accomplished. That's what Jesus allows us to do in worship. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to truly know God? To actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us. We're just now entering the final segment of a marvelous teaching by Derek Prince on thanksgiving and praise. And Derek is about to teach us that praise is an end, not a means. Let's listen.
I have said that praise is an end, not a means. It's something that's desirable for its own sake and not just because it leads to something else. Here's another scripture that brings out this fact about praise. It's one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. David says this, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Notice David had experienced a glorious deliverance of the Lord, just as you and I have done through what Christ has done on our behalf. And David realized by the revelation of the Holy Spirit the purpose for which the Lord had done this for him. The Lord had put off his sackcloth, girded him with gladness. The Lord had turned his mourning into dancing. What was the response that the Lord required from David? David says it very clearly. To the end that, that's the purpose, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. We have no right to be silent when we celebrate the victories that Christ has won on our behalf. The only appropriate response is praise. You notice that David says, my glory may sing praise to thee. What does he mean by my glory? The answer is, he means his tongue. Let me show you how Scripture comments on this. In Psalm 16, verse 9, another psalm of David, David says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quoted this verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 26, but this is how he quoted it. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. You notice that where the psalmist in the Old Testament says, my glory, Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, offers us the divine commentary on this. He says, my tongue. What does that tell us? It tells us that our tongue is our glory. You say, well, why is my tongue my glory? And I'll tell you. Because your tongue and my tongue was placed in our mouths for one supreme purpose. You know what that was? To give glory to God. How do we give glory to God? Well, that's what David said. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Bear that in mind. The supreme purpose of the human tongue is to give glory to God, to praise Him, to worship Him, to acknowledge Him. In fact, every use of our tongues that does not glorify God is a misuse. Remember that, will you? Your tongue is your glory. It becomes your glory in effect, in reality, when you use it to praise God.
You know, we're at the end of this first week of this marvelous teaching on praise and worship and thanksgiving, and it would be a tragedy if we just left it as an intellectual thing, if we just left all this great teaching as just notes and marked up scriptures, but we didn't really apply it. I want to challenge you to begin incorporating an actual, vibrant life of thanksgiving and praise and worship in your life. If you spend an hour before the Lord in the course of a day, and maybe half an hour of it's in the Word, and half an hour of it is maybe making your request known to God, I want to encourage you to maybe begin to make 15, 20, 30 minutes of it, worship and praise. Get some great songs that you really love, maybe from church, or maybe just buy the recording of your church's worship service. And do it again in private. If you play an instrument on your own, begin to learn the worship songs that are meaningful to you and express things to God. And in fact, you can even go into sort of an unformed kind of worship where you play little melodies and make up words or sing in your prayer language. I'm going to tell you, this is a way that God comes and indwells your life, meets with you. You're going to find a transformation happening in your life as you begin to go in this way. For most of us, our private time with God is the Word and prayer lists. I want to suggest that you open it up to a life of worship. Listen, if you need anything from us or if you want to review this teaching, DerekPrince.org is where you want to be. But that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.